Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin. Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala states in the Holy Quran ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innama umirtu an a'buda rabb hadhihi al-baldati alladhi harramaha wa lahu kullu shay'. وأمرت أن أكون من المسلمين وأن أتلو القرآن. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala is instructing him that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell the people that I have been commanded to worship the Lord of this land, meaning of Makkatul Mukarramah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah has made sacred, this land which Allah has made sanctified and sacred, Makkatul Mukarramah. And to Allah belongs everything. وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ And I have been commanded to be from the Muslims. وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ And I have been commanded to recite the Qur'an, do tilawa of the Qur'an. In another verse of the Holy Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ That Allah Ta'ala is mentioning to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the ummah, as an extension to the ummah, to ourselves, that recite or do tilawa, ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab, of that which has been revealed to you from the Qur'an, and establish the salah. Indeed, salah prohibits a person, stops a person from fahsha, from immoral actions, wal munkar, and wrong actions. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's remembrance and dhikr is the greatest thing. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which you do. So in these two ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ummah to engage in what is known as tilawa of the Qur'an. Tilawa. So what does this word tilawa mean? Normally we translate tilawa as recitation. However, the Arabic word tilawa actually means to follow. Mutaba'a. The Arabic word tilawa means to follow. And that's why in the Quran, in Surah Al-Shams, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam, an oath, that وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا I take an oath in the sun, وَضُحَاهَا and the brightness of the sun. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا And I take an oath in the moon that follows from the sun, meaning that continues from the sun. When the sun sets, then we see the moon rises in the sky. So tilawa means to follow. And that's why the ulama mentioned tilawa is not just an action that you do with the mouth. And that's why in the Quran so many times Allah Ta'ala mentions about tilawa, because it's not just an action which is done with the tongue, rather it means to follow the Quran, meaning the love, the wording of the Quran with the mouth, but also to practically follow the teachings of the Quran which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning to us. That a person practices upon each and every single teaching of the Quran, this also is included in this meaning of tilawa. And we understand that the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so special. And there are, inshallah, there's going to be a list of virtues and blessings we're going to talk about, inshallah, that the Quran holds. But one hadith, Shaykh Abdullah Sirajuddin rahmatullahi alayhi brings here, he mentions that there are so many ahadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has talked about the virtues of the Quran. Well, he brings one hadith. This hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu. He mentions that I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أوصني, Ya Rasulullah, give me some advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the first piece of advice. عليك بتقوى الله فإنه رأس الأمر كله. I command you to have the taqwa of Allah. I advise you to have the fear of Allah, the taqwa of Allah, because this is the most important thing. فَإِنَّهُ رَأْسُ الْأَمْرِ كُلِّهِ This is the head of everything, meaning this is the most important thing. If you have this, then inshallah Allah will give you everything else. So he said, I said, Ya Rasulullah zidni, O Messenger of Allah, give me some more advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and everyone we should listen to this carefully, عَلَيْكَ بِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ I advise you to hold on to the recitation of the Qur'an. فَإِنَّهُ نُورٌ لَكَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَذُخْرٌ لَكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ Because this will be a means of nur for you, a light for you on the earth. وَذُخْرٌ لَكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ And it will be a ذخيرة, a treasure for you in the skies. Meaning when you die, this will be a source of so much reward for a person. And this meaning of nur, That the Qur'an Majid, the Qur'an al-Kareem, it creates a nur in this dunya. Many ahadith will come later to show that when a person recites Qur'an or does tilawat of Qur'an in their homes, these homes become like beacons of light which stand out to the inhabitants of the sky. And they know that this is a house in which tilawa is being done, and this is a house in which tilawa is not being done. So like the way, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, it will come later, the way stars, the way you can see the stars in the night sky, that's how the inhabitants of the heavens can see those houses on the earth in which the tilawa of the Qur'an is being carried out. And then he brings a chapter here, Al-Amru bita'ahud al-Qur'ani khawf al-nisyan. And this is very important as well. That when a person, whatever portion of the Qur'an, we should all have a target to memorize as much of the Qur'an as we can. But whatever portion of the Qur'an we memorize, we have to strive very hard to retain it and not forget it. It's very important. And he brings the hadith here, Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhim have narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated, ta'ahadu hadha al-Qur'an. Hold on to this Qur'an. Protect this Qur'an. فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَهُوَ أَشَدُّ تَفَلُّتًا. And in another narration it mentions, لَهُوَ مِنْ قُلُوبِ الرِّجَالِ مِنَ الْإِبِلِ مِنْ عُقُلِهَا. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, hold fast, hold firm unto the Qur'an, protect the Qur'an. Because I swear by the being in whose hand is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, meaning I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is more quicker to flee and to run away than a camel when you release it from its captivity or from its hold. The way that it runs away, a wild camel, it feels that it's free now, it's going to run away and no one can catch a camel, it's a very strong animal. So that's how quickly the Qur'an flees when a person becomes heedless of it or ignorant of it. And that's why it's very important, especially for the Huffaz of Qur'an, that we protect the Qur'an. Or anything that a person has memorized from the Qur'an. MashaAllah, in madrasas, the boys, they learn Surah Yasin, they learn some longer surahs, Suratul Layl, Suratul Shams. We always say, look, if you don't recite it, you're going to forget it. Even though you haven't learnt much in comparison to maybe a hafiz of the Qur'an, but still those surahs, if you ignore them, you neglect them, you won't remember them. People always say, mashallah, my child's learned Suratul Rahman, Suratul Waqi'ah, Suratul Mulk, Surat Yasin. Very good. But make sure your child is reciting them every single day. Make sure we ourselves, if I just say I know Surat Yasin, but you test the person doesn't know. No Surat Mulk, test the person doesn't know. It's very important. And these four surahs especially, specifically, Surat Yasin, Surat Mulk, and Surah Al-Waqi'ah, these three surahs, a person should try and have the habit of reading them on a daily basis. Many of the scholars of the past were such. Recently, well, not very recently, about 10 years ago, he passed away in Madinatul Munawwara. He is buried. The great scholar, Mufti Ashiq Ilahi Bulandshahri, rahimahullah. He's written the famous kitab, Zadut Talibin, Provisions for the Seekers, a beautiful book on hadith, and he's done many other works of hadith. He was from Pakistan originally, but then he migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. He passed away there and he was buried in Jannatul Baqi'. Allah Ta'ala gave him this honor. And he had many beautiful qualities that he was very punctual with. One of the things that he was extremely habitual and punctual with was these surahs. Those who write his biography, they mention that he would never miss Surat Yasin after Fajr Salah, Suratul Waqi'ah after Maghrib Salah, and Suratul Mulk after Isha Salah. Surah Yasin, obviously the ahadith are a little bit weaker, but we see the pious, you know, sometimes the hadith can be weak. But if it becomes the amal of the pious people, it means the pious people saw some goodness in it. Like Suratul Kahf, whoever recites Suratul Kahf, then there is a nur which is shining in front of them from this Friday to the next Friday. The hadith is a bit weak, but the pious people would do this religiously. They would never miss it. It shows that they saw something in it of benefit. So we should also do it. There's no harm. You're reciting Quran, you're not doing any bid'ah. Similarly, Surah Yasin, the hadith mentions, مَنْ قَرَأَ يَاسِينَ فِي صَدْرِ النَّهَارِ قُضِيَتْ حَوَائِجُهُ. Whomsoever recites Surah Yasin in the beginning of the day, Allah Ta'ala will fulfill all of their needs for the rest of that day. The hadith is weak, and we accept it's weak, but we see the pious people never left it. And they would vouch for the barakat and the blessings they have seen from reciting Surah Yasin every single day, every morning. Similarly, Suratul Waqi'ah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whomsoever recites Suratul Waqi'ah every evening, lam yusibhu faqatun, poverty will never affect that person. They will be safeguarded from poverty. They will be safeguarded from financial harm. So we should make a habit of it. And Suratul Mulk, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Suratul Mulk protects a person from the adab of the grave, the punishment of the grave. So every night to recite these surahs. So we should have a habit of reciting these surahs. And then he goes on to mention that another hadith again to do with holding on to the Qur'an. and also about protecting our homes or reciting and doing tilawa of Quran in the homes is very important. MashaAllah, the brothers, many times we come to the masjid and we like it, and it's good that when we come to the masjid we have this isolation and we can sit by ourselves and we can recite the Quran by ourselves. It's very good. But why don't we create a room in the house which becomes the musalla of the house? Don't allow any television to be in there. Maybe, especially people who have bigger homes, or if you have a spare room that you can allocate, that this is the place where we perform the salah inside of the home. My sunan, my nawafil, the women folk of will perform the salah at home. Because what happens is in our homes, I've been to so many homes, in Ashton as well, many people's houses, they have big pictures hanging. You walk into the living room, there's a big images or portraits of this person, grandfather passed away, grandmother passed away, the children, what they, you know, in school portraits, are hung all over the walls. So how can you perform your salah in such rooms? And many Muslims now, they have dogs as well in their homes. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam very strictly has mentioned in so many ahadith, whomsoever has images of living beings in their homes, the angels do not enter that house. Whomsoever has a living dog in their house, the angels do not enter that house. When Muslims are having these images hanging, the scholars mention, you know, sometimes you have these toys, and I just mentioned as a mas'ala, you have certain toys which have like cartoon images. They mention they're not, because that's, you didn't buy it for an image. You bought it for a toy and sometimes got an image or two which is attached to it, and it's hard, it's very, very difficult to find toys without those kind of things. But purposefully putting portraits, purposefully putting images up, we are inviting, or we are asking for angels not to come into our homes. If angels don't come into our homes, where is Allah Ta'ala's barakat and mercy and rahmah going to come into our homes? So it's very, very important. So keeping the homes alive with the tilawah of Quran. We can have a special room in which, you know, there's no television, there's, you know, we can go into it, we can sit down quietly. I've seen my own, you know, Mufti Saif al-Islam sahab from Bradford, I've seen him do this many times. What he does is, every night he performs his tahajjud salah, and what he will do is, he will perform his tahajjud salah in a different room of the house. So he'll go into a different room, and he'll perform his tahajjud salah, and he'll recite one juz in his tahajjud salah, and he'll perform it very loudly. To make sure that every single room of the house, there is some tilawah of Quran taking place. So in the sight of the angels, this home is a nurani house, a enlightened home. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah has narrated, that إِنَّ الَّذِي لَيْسَ فِي جَوْفِهِ شَيْءٌ مِّنَ الْقُرْآنِ كَالْبَيْتِ الْخَرِبِ. So this is referring to, it's going to mention later about the homes, but this is referring to a person who hasn't memorized. Those people who haven't memorized anything of the Quran and are happy with their قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ عَدْ قُلْ أَوْذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَىٰ قُلْ أَوْذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Every single rakah of every single namaz reading those same surahs, we need to pay attention to this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, the person in whose heart there is nothing of the Qur'an, or we can say very little of the Qur'an, every Muslim should have something of the Qur'an, otherwise they can't perform salah, is kalbaytil kharib, is like an empty house. They don't have much to offer. So it's very important we memorize the Qur'an. So many ahadith, on the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, the angels will say, iqra wartaqi warattil kama kunta turattilu fi dunya. Read whatever of the Qur'an you had memorized and continue to rise in your ranks in Jannah. فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَكَ عِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ تَقْرَأُهَا. Your station in Jannah, your place in Jannah will be with the last ayah that you can recite. So the more ayahs we have memorized in the dunya, the more verses we have learned, the higher our status in Jannah. And remember, the Sahaba would take a long time memorizing Quran. People say, oh, children can do it. A living example of a person in their late 20s, in the early 30s, completing their hifz. Anyone can do it. Where there's a will, there's a way. You know, a person, okay, nobody's saying become a hafiz of Quran, but we should have a target of memorizing as much verses of the Quran as we possibly can. There should be this enthusiasm, there should be this jazbah, this shauq, right? Because a person who has memorized just a few verses of the Quran, we need to think about our time, and we need to think about our salah. In Oldham, we had this great scholar, Mawlana Fadl Rahim Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. He would perform tahajjud salah every night. He would wake up at 2 o'clock every morning, and he would perform his tahajjud salah for about 2 hours straight. And he wasn't a hafiz of the Quran. So people think only those people can stand in salah for a long time who are hafiz of Quran. Otherwise, what you're going to do? Read Qul A'udhu Birabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Birabbin Nas, Qul A'udhu Birabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Birabbin Nas. But he would memorize so many ayahs from the Quran from different places. So he would just recite everything that he knew. He'd recite the surahs that he knew. Then he'd recite certain ayahs that he knew, and he would just carry on reciting different things. One person stood with him in tahajjud salah. He said he was going from this ayah to this ayah to this ayah to this ayah. All of the different ayahs he had memorized and learnt, he was reciting. So there has to be this zeal and enthusiasm. I was mentioning, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'een, they were not children. Most of the Sahaba were Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's age. Many of them were older than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many of them became hafiz of Quran because they had the shuq. Many of them, it took them 3 years, 4 years, 10 years to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah. They still did it. And they wouldn't just memorize it, like they mentioned, that whenever they would memorize one ayah of the Qur'an, they would make sure that they do amal upon it before they go into the next ayah of the Qur'an. So they didn't just memorize Qur'an, but they built the bond with the Qur'an as they were memorizing it. They built that love of the Qur'an, the yaqeen in the Qur'an, as they were memorizing it. Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah has mentioned a hadith. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, and everyone inshallah listen to this carefully, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, وَعُرِضَتْ عَلَيَّ أُجُورُ أُمَّتِي. The deeds of my ummah were presented in front of me. My ummah's a'mal, their deeds were presented in front of me. حَتَّى الْقَذَاتُ يُخْرِجُهَا الرَّجُلُ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. Even the deed of removing a dirty thing from the masjid. You know, if you walk in the masjid and you find a small piece of litter and you remove that, even the reward that you get for that deed was shown in front of me. So every form of good deed that my ummah could possibly do, the reward was shown in front of me. وَعُرِضَتْ عَلَيَّ ذُنُوبُ أُمَّتِي. Similarly, all of the sins of my ummah were shown in front of me. فَلَمْ أَرَ فِيهَا ذَنْبًا أَعْظَمُ مِنْ سُورَةٍ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ أَوْ آيَةً أُوْتِيَهَا رَجُلٌ ثُمَّ نَسِيهَا. Allah Ta'ala protect us from this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I did not see a sin which is greater than a surah of the Qur'an or an ayah of the Qur'an that somebody had memorized and then had forgotten it. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. You know, it's a very, very big job and it's a very big responsibility. But that's why the reward is so great, building that relationship with the Qur'an. So we need to. You know, we've met lots of huffaz in our locality here as well, lots of huffaz, and they memorize Qur'an and the Qur'an becomes weak. So we need to go back to it. We need to reattach ourselves with it. We shouldn't give up and say, oh, I've forgotten it, it's okay, let me move on to something else. No, we need to take these ahadith very, very seriously. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, مَا مِنْ إِمْرِئٍ يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ ثُمَّ يَنْسَاهُ إِلَّا لَقِيَ اللَّهَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَجْذَمْ. Whomsoever memorizes the Qur'an and then forgets it, he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment as a leper, someone who has the illness of leprosy. Juzam ki bimari kehte hain urdu mein. So it's a very, very serious thing. Allah Ta'ala protect us from this. So we need to hold on to this Qur'an. We need to build a relationship with this Qur'an. But the ulama mention here an exception. That obviously if somebody, because of illness, they struggle to read, or if someone because of old age has just forgotten naturally, you know, it does happen because of old age, this person will not be sinful. Similarly, someone who tries to retain it, but finds it a bit difficult, they will not be sinful. But if it is done out of negligence or laziness, that the person just doesn't spare time for it, then all of these sins will apply. So we need to take, inshallah, these things seriously. Very quickly, I'll just mention this last, a few more fada'il of virtues of the Qur'an, tilawat of Qur'an, inshallah, and then we'll stop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Qur'an, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الذين يتلون كتاب الله وأقاموا الصلاة وأنفقوا مما رزقناهم سرا وعلانية يرجون تجارة لن تبور ليوفيهم أجورهم ويزيدهم من فضله إنه غفور شكور. Indeed, those people who recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they establish the salah, they perform salah, and they spend from that which we have given them sirran wa alaniyatan, secretively and openly, publicly and privately. يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورٍ. They can hope in a profit which will never waste, or they can hope in a business which will never lose profit. They will never make a loss on this business. لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُم مِّن فَضْلِهِ. Allah Ta'ala says, we will give them their complete reward for their action, and we will also increase them through our bounty, or in our bounty. Meaning, not only will these people be given a full reward, complete reward of their actions, Allah Ta'ala will give them mazid. And you know, this mazid can mean many things. Increase, izafa. It can mean many things. One of the famous tafsirs of mazid in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُ الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَ. Those people who do good actions, they will get their reward and they will get ziyada, mazid, increase. Do you know what this increase was that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the people of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the veil and they will be able to gaze at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is this mazid. The people who do good deeds and Allah ta'ala is pleased with them, He will give them Jannah. This is husna. Jannah is reward. And then this mazid, this extra bounty, the bounty like no other bounty. The bounty which when Allah gives this to this servant, he will wish that he could just stay there forever looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is this vision of Allah ta'ala. So we'll only be given it in short times, small time slots. You will get to view Allah ta'ala and then the veil will come down and the jannatis will feel, we wish we can see Allah ta'ala again, but then they will enjoy themselves in Jannah, but this will be the greatest thing they will look forward to. In other ahadith, Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah mentions every week there will be a viewing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be like chairs, thrones will be laid out and everybody will sit. And those who had the greatest deeds will sit closer to the front. And others will sit towards the back. It will be entire setup, entire system. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the veil. وَيُكْشَفُ عَنْ حِجَابِ The veil will be removed and they will view Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will be the moment of greatest joy for them. And once this viewing has been complete, then they will go into the marketplaces and there will be a market where they can exchange their faces. So they will go into the marketplaces and they will look at different faces and they will just want to be, I want to look like this. And their face will become like that. And they will come home and their wife will say, you look so different to when you left the house. But Allah Ta'ala will make it such, they will return and they will find their wife more beautiful than they had left her. Really more beautiful, not mashallah the way we say it, to make a wife happy, mashallah. They're really more beautiful than we had actually left her. Similarly, so this is mazid. So here Allah Ta'ala is saying, لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ Allah Ta'ala will give them their reward completely. وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ And Allah Ta'ala will give them mazid. Allah will increase them. إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most shakur, grateful. Allah is the most appreciative. When you do a good deed, Allah ta'ala appreciates it. My servant did this good deed. Right? If I do someone a favor, sometimes they appreciate, sometimes they don't. Allah ta'ala doesn't need to appreciate anything we do because Allah ta'ala doesn't need anything we do. Yet we do a small subhanallah, Allah ta'ala says, my servant said subhanallah. We recite Quran, Allah ta'ala says, my servant is reciting Quran. Allah ta'ala automatically, this love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaches out to the servant. This is Allah ta'ala's forgiving nature, Allah ta'ala's appreciative nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and the understanding to benefit from these ahadith and to build a relationship and connection with the Quran, especially in this holy month of Ramadan. There are many other virtues I thought I would mention, but time is short as well. Inshallah, next week we'll continue. Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to practice one of these few things. SubhanAllah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, bihamdik. Shadu Allah, ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.